Hi everyone, welcome back to English for You. I'm Pat.
I'm Tiffany.
And we're on part two of our literature article, which is called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. So what is this curious incident? Because we learned about that in day one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, let's remember again who our main character is, Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is a 15-year-old boy, but he's a little bit different than everyone else because he has autism, and this means that he has trouble with a lot of social situations. So he has trouble talking to people, interacting with them, and he sees the world in a very, very different way. And he sees the world in a very literal way.
Yeah, sort of what people say that is 100% true kind of thing. Now, this curious incident, his neighbor's dog gets killed. And this kind of sets him off on an investigation of who killed the dog and why.
Mm-hmm. And during his investigation, well, he learns a lot of very shocking things. First of all, he learns that his mom isn't dead. Instead, she ran off to London with the neighbor's husband.
Oh my goodness.
I know. So his life was basically turned upside down because of this.
Okay, now, Christopher's father, Ed, he has been lying all of this time. He said, you know, your mum's dead, she died 2 years ago. And when his mum, I think her name is Judy, sent letters to Christopher, then Ed kept them so Christopher couldn't read them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all sorts of lies and secrets.
Yeah, and then Christopher also found out that Ed, which is his father, killed the neighbor's dog because he was so angry at the neighbor's husband.
And yeah.
Wow, a lot of different a lot of things going on for Christopher, actually.
Yeah. So he confronts his father, he reads his mum's letters, and he's also writing a book about this investigation and all the things he's doing. And now he's going, okay, what have I got to do now? I've got to head for London and find my mum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to pick up the story in day two.
Reading.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. The sights, sounds, and crowds of the capital almost overwhelm Christopher. However, he sticks to his guns and eventually finds his mom. Judy is delighted to see him, but the same can't be said for Mr. Shears. He doesn't want Christopher to live with them. This rejection causes the relationship between Judy and Mr. Shears to break down. Though he's happy to have found his mom, Christopher has to return to Swindon to take an important math exam. Judy moves back to Swindon too, and rents an apartment there. Christopher knows he will have to face his father again, which terrifies him. He thinks Ed might kill him. After all, he killed the neighbor's dog. Ed, however, wishes he had never let things go this far. To make up for everything that has happened, Ed buys Christopher a golden retriever puppy. He tells Christopher he will attempt to win back his trust, no matter how long it takes. Christopher takes his math exam and gets an A. The story finishes with Christopher feeling optimistic about his life. He's passed his exam, traveled to London on his own, and found his mother. He's even solved the dog's murder and written a book.
All right, so let's read our story. Let's find out what happens to Christopher when he goes to London. Now, London's a big city. The article says the sights, sounds, and crowds of the capital almost overwhelm Christopher. Okay.
That'll happen.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a big city and from you know, where he's living now, it's a huge difference for him.
Yeah, you lived in London.
Yeah.
You must know that it can be a little bit busy. Yeah, trying to use the underground on the tube.
And the people.
Can easily get lost up in London.
Yeah, and you can easily get overwhelmed as well, just like how Christopher is feeling. Now, we see the word capital here, and it's basically used to mean the most important city in a country. And this is usually where maybe where the most activity happens or where the main government buildings and offices are. For example, the capital of Taiwan is Taipei. And as we learned, the capital of England is London. Now, I want to quiz you guys. Do you know what the capital of the United States is?
Surely it's New York City.
No, very close. New York City is a very busy city, but actually the official capital city of the United States is Washington, D.C.
Ah, of course it is.
Yeah, that's where the White House is. Okay. White House is. All right, so we can use capital in a sentence like this. We can say New York City is the media capital of the United States.
Okay, so not like the government capital, but it's where all the media offices are. So we can use capital in a few different ways.
That's right.
Okay, now, Christopher is overwhelmed by all of this stuff that's going on, all these people and so on. And if you're overwhelmed by something, it's just too much for you. It's either too much, too many, too strong, something like that, and you can't really cope with it. So he's just like, oh, God, so many people, so many tube lines, how do I get to where I need to go? It's overwhelming. I can't cope.
That's right. And it says, however, he sticks to his guns and eventually finds his mom. So he's overwhelmed. He doesn't know what's going on, but he really tries to believe in himself and he follows his instincts and he does find his mom. Now we see our shortcut for use phrase here. We see stick to one's guns. Let's take a quick break and learn about what it means.
Shortcut for you.
What's going on?
I'm trying to decide what to do tonight.
What do you want to do?
Well, my friends want to go to KTV, but I plan to stay home and clean my house.
That's a hard one.
Right. I'd much rather have fun, but my house is really dirty.
You should do what you think is right.
Yes. I'm going to stick to my guns and follow my original plan.
Stick to your guns? I know you're from the U.S., but here in Taiwan, we can't buy guns.
Thank goodness for that. But to stick to your guns means to refuse to change your mind, even if other people try to change it.
Oh, okay. To stick to one's guns means 坚守立场.
Yes.
Now, we learned that when you stick to your own gun or stick to one's guns, it just means you stick to your instincts and beliefs, even if people don't agree with you or they're kind of against you.
Yeah, it just kind of means you keep going. So Judy is delighted to see him, to see Christopher, but the same can't be said for Mr. Shears.
Oh,
he's probably like, oh, it's her son from the other marriage. That's not good for me. Now, however, Judy, his mum, is delighted. And delighted means really happy, really pleased by something. For example, Johnny's parents were delighted that he got such a good grade on his English exam.
So, of course, his mum would be delighted to see him. She's been trying to, I think, talk to him.
Contact him with letters and stuff.
Yeah, for the past 2 years, so she must be very delighted. Next in the story says, he, which is Mr. Shears, doesn't want Christopher to live with them. So we see there's a problem here.
Yeah, and actually if you read the book, the problem is related to, partly to, of course, to the old marriage, but partly due to Christopher's condition, because he needs a little bit of extra care and attention because of his autism spectrum now. So he says, this is a problem. I'm not sure if Christopher can come and live with us here. And this rejection causes the relationship between Judy and Mr. Shears to break down.
Now, the
word rejection is the act of saying no or refusing an offer or a proposition. The verb form, of course, is reject. To reject someone, you say no, and that is a rejection. And we often see it in contexts like this. Larry asked Kate out on a date, but was hurt when he received her rejection.
Ouch. So, yeah, I can imagine how this might, create a
problem.
Yeah,
how can you say no to my son?
Yeah, there's going to be something going on. So, in the article, it says, though he's happy to have found his mom, so Christopher, of course, is very happy to find his mom, Christopher has to return to Swindon to take an important math exam. So, he's very happy to be in London. He's very happy to reconnect with his mom, but he still remembers that he has some responsibilities and important things to do back home.
Yeah, and this kind of also relates to his condition. You might think, well, who cares about a math exam if you've just rediscovered your mother, who you haven't seen for 2 years? But he knows in his mind that, no, there's proper behavior. I have to follow these proper steps, and I have to take this math exam. Mm-hmm. It's all part of that sort of behavioral sort of, you know, difficulty with social interactions that comes with his condition. So he does go back to Swindon, and we see that Judy moves back to Swindon too and rents an apartment there. So she's not going to get back together with Ed, the father, but she does want to be in her son's life. So she's going to leave Mr. Shears and come back to help and support her son.
Next in the story says, Christopher knows he will have to face his father again, which terrifies him. So remember, previously, before he went to London, he confronted his father. So now he's going back to his home, and this terrifies him. When you feel terrified, or when something terrifies you, it means to feel very scared or frightened.
And why is he terrified? Well, the article explains that he, Christopher, thinks Ed might kill him. I mean, after all, he killed the neighbor's dog.
That's true.
Okay, now this phrase, after all, we use this when we give an explanation, and also to show that it's a reasonable explanation, something that makes sense given the facts. Now, this may not make sense to you because you think, well, it's one thing to kill a dog that's annoying, but you wouldn't kill your own son. But again, we go back to Christopher's condition. For him and the way his mind works, it's logical that, oh, my dad killed a dog, he can just as easily kill me.
Mm-hmm,
that's that
true.
Sort of very literal mind where he doesn't understand the sort of interactions between people.
That's right. Next, it says, Ed, however, wishes he had never let things go this far. So his father, of course, is not the evil, kind of horrible father that, you know, Christopher thinks he
is. Yeah, in his mind.
Yeah. So Ed wishes that he didn't let things go this far. Now, we see the sentence pattern, wish plus a past perfect verb. And this is just to express regret about maybe things in the past that we wish that we could change now.
Yeah, we could go back and change them so that something didn't happen. Like, I wish I hadn't spent so much money on this car because, oh my, now I'm
broke.
I
don't have any money, but I got a nice car.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ed isn't obviously going to kill his son. He's not going to stab him with a garden fork like he did the dog. He wishes that, you know, he hadn't lied probably and that everything had been different. So to make up for everything that has happened, Ed buys Christopher a golden retriever puppy.
Oh.
Okay, so he is trying to sort of say sorry. He's trying to make up for something. And to make up for something is to do something as an apology for a mistake or something bad you did in the hope that it makes the situation better. So it's not just saying sorry. Mm-hmm. It's also really showing that you are sorry and you're going to change and you're going to kind of make things better.
Yeah, and it's usually through actions as well.
Exactly.
All right, so what did his dad buy? Well, he bought him a golden retriever puppy. And these are the cute, it's a breed of dog, and these are the really cute, big, friendly dogs that have yellow and golden fur. In Chinese, it's just called 黄金猎犬. So he bought him a golden retriever puppy. So cute.
Very cute little baby dog. And Ed also tells Christopher, he will attempt to win back his trust no matter how long it takes. So there we saw the word attempt. It's a verb. He's going to attempt to make things better and win back Christopher's trust. An attempt basically just means the same as try. But we kind of use it when we're talking about really make an effort to achieve or complete something that's usually quite difficult. So we're not just saying, oh, I'll try it or see what happens. An attempt you make on something you might not be successful with. For example, many people have attempted to swim from Britain to France, but it is not easy.
All right, so next it says Christopher takes his math exam and gets an A. Oh, good for him.
All right, good work. So that math exam he thought was so important, he came back and he aced it, he smashed it. And then we see now we're getting into the conclusion. The story finishes with Christopher feeling optimistic about his life. So this word optimistic, you can use it in two ways. So you can talk about feeling optimistic, and that means you feel hopeful, you're expecting the best, you think good thing is going to happen in the future. We can also use the word optimistic to actually describe a person. And these people always feel this way. They always think, oh, look at the good things in life, things will turn out well. The old kind of way to look at it is there's a glass that's half full of water. Someone who is optimistic will say, that glass is half full. They will concentrate on the water that's still there. Somebody who's the opposite, pessimistic, will say, that glass is half empty. Mm-hmm. They're only seeing the empty space. They're seeing what's missing. So, but of course, the other way is feeling optimistic. You think things will go well. Here's an example of that. Julie is feeling optimistic about the outcome of her job interview. She thinks things will go well. She thinks, yeah, I did a great job. Mm-hmm. I'll get an offer.
And I'll get the job.
So why is Christopher optimistic?
Okay, well, he's optimistic because it says he's passed his exam, so he got an A.
Yep.
Traveled to London on his own. Good job
to him. Yeah, that's a difficult thing to do if you're a guy with a 15-year-old with an autism spectrum going to the big city.
And most importantly, and found his mother.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
found his mom.
He's feeling very optimistic. Things are now going on, you know, on the right track for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he went to London on his own, or when you go on one's own, this phrase means you're not accompanied by anyone, you are alone, and you kind of have to do things yourself, you take care of yourself, and he's actually really proud of that, especially with the condition that he has.
Exactly, and when you say the phrase on one's own, you could also say by oneself. It means the same thing. I went there on my own, I went there by myself. Now, this isn't all Christopher has achieved. We see also that he's even solved the dog's murder.
Oh.
So that was, of course, he found it was his dad, he did all that stuff, and written a book.
Wow.
Because, of course, through this whole sort of journey, this whole sort of investigation, the trip to London, everything that's happened, Christopher has been writing the story down in his book. And that's what you actually read. You don't read somebody talking about Christopher did this, Christopher did that. It's I did this, I think this, I feel that. We call it first person. And so we see it from Christopher's mind, from Christopher's point of view. Now, what he did, of course, was solve a murder. A murder is a crime in which a person is deliberately killed, not by accident, not just by bad luck. Somebody did it on purpose. We can use the word murder as a verb as well, to murder someone. Someone has been murdered and so on. But of course, here we're using it as a noun, a murder. Here's an example sentence. There were over 20 murders in this city last year.
Ooh, wow.
Which does sound kind of dangerous, but without knowing the sort of how many murders are there normally in any city in any year, we don't really know where the 20 is.
I'd say
20 is always going to be too many. It's 20 too many. You want zero murders.
Of course.
Unfortunately, things don't always work out like that. So, that brings us to the end of the story. Christopher has kind of done all of these cool things.
Yeah, he has. And I'm actually really proud that, you know, with him and autism and how he actually, you know, had to deal with these problems, he dealt with it quite well, I think.
Yeah, and maybe his family, his parents aren't going to get back together at this point, but at least he's got both parents in his life and he's got a dog, his new dog in his life. So no wonder he feels pretty happy. We hope you feel happy too. And now we're going to go to today's For You chat question.
For You Chat.
Okay, so Christopher did all of these things. We listed all these things, the solving the murder, writing a book, finding his mum, going to London. That relates to the question, what is something you are proud to have achieved in your life?
That's actually a really interesting question, I would say. I think I would be really proud of actually just graduating from high school and college, because
You did those things, right?
Of course I did.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
But I think, you know, as students, we go through, you know, as a student, we think, oh my gosh, like, you know, school is tough, school is difficult. And I remember being a student in high school, being a student in college, and it was always just like, oh my God, studying. But then when you actually achieve it, you think, oh, I did it. And you actually can be very proud of herself for putting in so much work and effort into that. So I would be proud to say, like, yeah, I did graduate.
You are proud.
Yeah,
you don't need to say you would be proud.
I am proud of doing that. What about you?
I'm proud of a number of things. I would say one particularly that relates to what we've been talking about here is that I wrote a Sherlock Holmes short story.
Wow.
About 2 years ago now, and it was published in a magazine, so I was pretty proud. First, I wrote it. Second, it got published. And thirdly, it was nominated for a prize for people whose work was published in very small presses.
Mm.
It didn't win the prize, otherwise I would be running around telling the world about it, but it did get nominated, which meant they thought it was a really good story. And so I'm really proud of that. I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. And so to actually write a story and have a lot of people think, hey, this is a pretty good Sherlock Holmes story, I'm super proud of that.
It made me very happy. Of course. Just to even get nominated
is an honor already. Getting published and so other people can read it is enough at the moment for me.
That,
of course, was a mystery story. There was a murder that got solved in it. So kind of, I wrote it, so it relates to a lot of things in that book. So that's why I've chosen that. What about you guys? What is something you are proud of having achieved? Could be a school thing, could be a personal thing, could be a sports thing, could be anything you like. Have a talk about it, discuss it. We're out of time for now, but join us again tomorrow where we're going to talk about a bit about the author of this book and some of the themes and ideas we have in the story. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. The sights, sounds, and crowds of the capital almost overwhelm Christopher. However, he sticks to his guns and eventually finds his mom. Judy is delighted to see him, but the same can't be said for Mr. Shears. He doesn't want Christopher to live with them. This rejection causes the relationship between Judy and Mr. Shears to break down. Though he's happy to have found his mom, Christopher has to return to Swindon to take an important math exam. Judy moves back to Swindon too, and rents an apartment there. Christopher knows he will have to face his father again, which terrifies him. He thinks Ed might kill him. After all, he killed the neighbor's dog. Ed, however, wishes he had never let things go this far. To make up for everything that has happened, Ed buys Christopher a golden retriever puppy. He tells Christopher he will attempt to win back his trust, no matter how long it takes. Christopher takes his math exam and gets an A. The story finishes with Christopher feeling optimistic about his life. He's passed his exam, traveled to London on his own, and found his mother. He's even solved the dog's murder and written a book.
Vocabulary Review. Capital. The most northern capital city in the world is Reykjavik in Iceland. Delighted. Karen was delighted when she got a new bike for her 7th birthday. Rejection. Beatrice's rejection made Dan feel very sad. He wandered around the city, not wanting to do anything. Attempt. The professor spent 3 years attempting to solve the famous math problem before he succeeded. Optimistic. Charles is extremely optimistic and never lets his failures make him too upset. Murder. The famous police officer solved many strange murders that puzzled everybody else.